A web page opens.
Ready? Good morning. Thank you for coming to see us here at Faith Baptist Church in El Paso. Good to have you. Good to see you. We'll start out with some songs. So let's go ahead and go to page 79 in your songbook. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last. Where's it all for? Of page 79. At the Cross, those that are here in attendance, go ahead and please stand. And we'll sing At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. On the fourth, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. I pray that you would be with the service. Pray that you would be with the message. Pray that you would just bring something to us that we can learn, Lord, and that we can apply to our lives. Pray that you would be with those that aren't able to be here. Be with those that are watching on the live stream as well. Pray that you'd give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated and turn to page 12 in your songbooks. The Old Rugged Cross is page 12. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the last on page 12. Page 12. The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And I love them. Just have a few announcements and prayer requests to make. First off, we've got Brother Steve Bitsko. He was in a car accident a few weeks back. He's still in recovery. He's got some appointments the first week of August, if I'm not mistaken. He's got some concussion signs, and they need to do some follow-up with him and see. He's doing okay. He is at home, but he's still recovering from that. Bible study, so the Tuesday night Bible study that he normally leads Tuesday nights has been suspended until he's able to come back. I will be moving from here to Laredo to Indianapolis in a few weeks, months, not sure exactly on the exact timeline, but I will be leaving tomorrow to go to Laredo. And I've got job changes and stuff like that, so just keep me in prayer as well. We need to pray for Daniel Patton. He's got an infection in his foot, so keep him in your prayers. Mrs. Marcus, she also has an infection and then a lot of issues with her family as well, just a lot of personal things going on there, so she needs your prayers as well. Kenya Herberto, she has some pretty bad health issues, and then her husband, Beto, they have four kids, and he's trying to work and take care of her and take care of their four kids all the same time. So just keep all those folks in your prayers. Also, Pastor Rinka, if you may notice, he's not here today. He and my mom have gone to Denver for the weekend to spend some time with their granddaughter. With my niece. So they'll be coming back tomorrow night. They'll be back by tomorrow night. So they won't be here in the services, but just pray for them that they have safe travels and that they have a good time. And then also, so we have Brother Kreider that's covering for them. He'll be preaching today, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. For now, also, we have our offering. We do have the option to give online through our website, faithbaptistelpaso.org. Also, through the Faith Life app, I believe it gives you the option to give there. Or you can send a check to the church post office box or to the church address here, or if you want to drop it off, or either way, we appreciate the donations and it's being put to a good use here for the church, for God. So I would just like to encourage you to do that. You pay your tithes and offerings. After that, I guess let's go ahead and we'll sing our last song for this morning service, page 113. Page 113, Blessed Assurance. Page 113, we'll sing all three verses. Blessed Assurance, page 113, all three verses.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Of God, born of His Spirit.
So we have preaching for us today. It's Brother Don Kreider. He works with deaf people here in El Paso. He's got a church, the West Texas Deaf Baptist Church of El Paso. He's been at it for a long time. He's been, I guess you're originally from Indianapolis, came out here a long time ago to El Paso area. He's got a real burden for those that are deaf. He spoke for us earlier this morning for Sunday school, and he's going to be covering for us again right now and then tonight as well. So we're excited to see, hear what he has to say, and we pray that we'll be able to learn something and that God will work through him. So, Brother Brother Kreider, thank you for coming to help us out. So, thank you, sir.
Thank you for the okay, now can you hear me? Okay, there we go. I speak very softly. Although I'm with the deaf, most people say I whisper. Anyway, my name's Don Kreider. I'm a missionary to the deaf. My wife and I are missionaries to the deaf. And then I joined the deaf church here in El Paso back in 2003, and I've been here ever since. I do want to introduce my beautiful wife. Would you stand and turn so they can see you? Yeah, and she is the prettiest thing in the whole wide world to me. And this is my Nico, my grand, well, let's see, it's her niece's grandson. And he spends the summer with us. His name is N-I-K-K-O. He got saved at Apache Creek Deaf Camp. And since his name is Nico, I call him Saint Nick. And I told him he's got to bring me a lot of toys this winter. But I don't have a chimney that he's going to have to knock on the door and I'll let him in. But anyway, that's Saint Nick now. I love the deaf. God put them on my heart many years ago. And I got saved in 1976 in a small little church in Zionsville, Indiana. It's cornfields all around it. At least there was then. I haven't been back there since 2003. The way the cities grow, it probably is growing out to that right now. But anyway, I started the deaf work in 1977. It's still going at the little church in Zionsville, Indiana. How I got saved was I was a policeman in Indianapolis for 20 years. I wasn't a very nice man. And this little guy who stood about this tall, his name was Danny Atkins. He was on fire for the Lord. And my church would come every morning or every Sunday morning and pick up my children. I had five children, or my wife, first wife, and I had five children. Let me clear that up. My first wife's in heaven. This is my second wife. Her husband committed adultery on her, so that allows us to be married. But God made arrangements for that because he knew I needed a wife. He knew. I went from 2003 to 2009, and the Lord put her on my heart. And I took her up on the mountain, and I thought, she'll never say yes to me because there's too many years difference. I bought a ring. Took me 5 years to pay for it. I got her up on the mountain, and it was cold that night. And I dropped to my knees, and I opened up the ring, and she said yes. She's been a real good wife. She takes care of me. I told her, I said, I'll buy you a better ring when I get this one paid off in 5 years. She put it up on my chest like that. She says, no, you won't. I said, why? She says, this is my ring, and nobody's going to take it from me. She still has it. And I do love her very much, and I praise the Lord for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights. And she's a perfect gift for me. Pardon me, I'm going to take a drink of water. This is not white lightning. I just carried in a water in here so I don't spill it. I'm kind of clumsy. Excuse me. But anyway, today I want to take us to a very controversial chapter in the Bible. And I want to see who the sons of God are. It's in chapter 6 of Genesis. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 6. And I'll read from verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them as wives of all they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, and yet his days are 120. There were giants in those days, also after those days. And the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and bare children unto them. And the same were mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in those in the earth, and every imagination and thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Many men have taken this scripture and they say that this was giants that were born unto these ladies. And they ruled the earth, and they were mighty men. Well, a lot of men let their imagination go wild, and they don't control their imagination. In verse 1, it said, And it came to pass, and men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. It says men began to multiply. And daughters were born unto them. Who were they? They were Sethites. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, and they took unto them wives of all they chose. It's just like me. I saw my wife was beautiful, and that's what they saw. But these were Canaanites. They were not angels. But so many people want to say the sons of God were angels. No, they weren't. They were men. It says so. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days will be 120. I'm 84, so I've got some more years according to this to go. And there were giants in the earth in those days. There were giants already here in those days, and also after those days, when the sons of God came unto to the daughters of men, they bear unto them children to them. And they became mighty men, men which were of old, men of renown. They're not, it's like in Nigeria back in 2014, there were mighty men there. And they kidnapped 276 schoolgirls. Still 100 of them they haven't found. They kidnapped them and used them as, sold them as wives and slaves. So we've always had mighty men. We've always had men that could force their way in. We, as I was a policeman, many times I'd go to a call and somebody had forced their way in and taken somebody captive. So people let their imagination go wild here. They think, oh, it's got to be angels. No. I'll show you where that came from in a little bit. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Doesn't that remind us of today? Men are evil. That tool right over there, the computer. Men are evil. You can get on the computer and find anything you want. You can listen to anything you want. The men are on dope, drugs, alcohol. And they take people, smoke pot. They've legalized pot in a lot of states, but they're finding out now that it was wrong. They're finding out now that it causes other problems. I was watching a show on, I think it was Cops, and the lady said before they legalized pot, we had problems. They said, we really have problems now. I don't know what pot is. I've never smoked it. I smelled it once in a while on somebody, but I've never taken any narcotics, any dope. Outside of when I was in the hospital, I got hit in the head, and I wasn't bleeding when I went home. So I laid down and went to bed. Well, my son-in-law, who does not like me, and my daughter, she loves me, happened to be riding with Dr. Eugenio Anamandalas here, and he's a very prominent doctor. And Eugenio knew that my son-in-law had his truck parked on my land. And he says, hey, John, how about me looking at that truck? And John says, I'm not going there. I don't like that man. I hate him. And he said, oh, come on, John, how often does a doctor get a day off? And so John came, and when they came to look at the truck, my daughter came around and started knocking on the door and kept knocking on the door, and I woke me up. And I went to the door, and by this time I was bleeding from the nose, ears, and mouth. And she put me back in bed and ran and got the doctor. And the doctor came in and looked at me, and he says, we don't have time for an ambulance. If we do, by the time the ambulance gets here, he'll be dead. So they put me in my truck and took me to the hospital. And on the way, the doctor called for special brain surgeons. He had five brain surgeons. One of them he was flying in, waiting for me at the door, and special nurses waiting for me. And they came and I was on a gurney, and they took me in, and they said, you got to sign the paper. I said, what for? And they said, well, you're going to die if you don't sign the paper. So we can operate on you. I said, I'm ready to go to heaven. I refused to sign. And I passed out. And my son-in-law, he didn't have the power to do it, but he said he had the power of attorney. And he signed the paper. And when I went to... When I passed out, I remember the ceiling tiles were like these. And I was looking at them, and then I passed out. And 10 days later, I woke up, and I looked at them. I said, this ain't heaven. I got cheated. And I'm ready to go anytime. But God has rewarded me with her. So I didn't go. And he's rewarded me with many, many privileges. He's taken this old policeman and he saved his soul. Many years ago, in 1976, a little guy about this tall came up. His name was Danny Atkins. He had his fists clenched up. You don't want to clench up your fists when you're talking to a policeman. That's not too good of an idea. And he was on fire for the Lord. And he got up in my face and was telling me about the Lord. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. And every Thursday night, the church sent out somebody to talk to me. And usually the pastor came, and he'd sit in the rocking chair, and he'd rock back and forth and talk to me about my soul. And I thought, you're just a religious people. I don't believe that stuff. So anyway, I decided one morning, one Sunday morning, instead of sending the kids, something was bothering me, and I said, woke the wife up, and I said, get up. She says, well, what for? I said, put on your dress. Why? I said, we're going to church. Okay. So we went to church, and I had, the only thing I had, and the devil knew it, it was a clown suit. It was a leisure suit, is what I called it. It was little squares, and it looked like a clown suit to me, so I went. And the pastor gave a message that touched my heart, and I wanted to go forward, but I didn't, because of the suit. And I left. And the next Sunday morning, I wake up. She says, why? I said, we're going to church. She said, you done gone plumb loco, boy? And I said, no, I haven't. I said, there's something I don't know. And the only person that I trusted in the whole wide world to tell me the truth was that pastor of this little hellfire brimstone church. So I went to church, and this was long before the Twin Towers, but I was sitting in the pew, and they were wooden pews. They were hard. They weren't soft like these. And I heard an airplane going over, and I was going, and I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. And I grabbed a hold of the seat, and I thought, that's kind of stupid. The seat's going to burn, too. So anyway, when I got up, he gave the invitation, and I got up and I ran down, and who'd I meet? The little guy with his fist clenched. And he led me to the Lord. He showed me that all men are sinners. I said, yeah, I know that, Danny, I know that. I'm a sinner. But tell me how to get saved. And he took me through the Word of God, and he showed me that my destiny at that time, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, let's look at it. This one really scared me when he read it to me. But the fearful. He said, you ever been scared? And I said, yeah, plenty of times. I was in a rough neighborhood. I've faced many guns. And I thought I was in many gunfights. I thought, this is it. But the Lord protected me because he knew what I wanted to do. I didn't, but he did. The unbelieving. I didn't believe in the Lord. The abominable means rude or hateful. You ever been rude or hateful, Don? Plenty of times. Murderers. How many murders does it take to be a murderer? One. That's all. He says, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and he says, look here, Don, all liars. All. He says, all. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, I've told lies before. He shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I said, I know, that's the reason I'm here. I don't want to go there. Show me how not to go there. And he took me back to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin, one sin, it's singular, S-I-N, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I said, I want that gift. But how do I get it? How do you reach out and get something so intangible as eternal life? He says, I'll show you. And he took me over to several other verses, but took me over to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, do you really believe that, Don? I said, yes, I really believe that. He says, for with thine heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, Don, do you want to call upon me? I said, yes. And I asked God into my heart. And it took a real burden off of me. Just like a ton off of my shoulders. And I knew I was eternally saved forever. Because he gave me eternal life. He didn't give me a life based on this or that. It's eternal, and it was free because I believed that he had died for me upon the cross. I was never ashamed. I was so excited about the Lord, and I still am. I love him very much. But I was a policeman, and I used to have Royce Vick. He was a missionary, and he wanted to be a policeman, really. And he would come and ride with me just about every week when he was on furlough. And I'd stop a car, and he says, hey, Don. I said, yeah. He says, would you do me a favor? And I said, yeah, sure I will. He says, when you go up to a car, I was excited about the Lord, and I wanted everybody to. I'd stop them, I'd tell them the violation they had, and I'd say, you're free to go. And I put my hands on my baton and my gun. And I'm sitting right, he's sitting there looking at me. He said, can I ask you a question? And he'd say, yes, officer. I'd say, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And I got a lot of professions to faith. He says, don't put your hand on that gun. And I told that to the Sunday school class. But anyway, they're back to the scriptures. I don't know how I got off on that. The men will do what they want, generally. And they force their way in. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great, verse 5, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at how evil people are today. They're continually evil. They have a lot of hate in them. Look at the hate that's in the election coming up. Hate on both sides, it shows, but especially the one side. They hate you. Look at the Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They hate you. I remember one time I arrested this man for he had gone up and take a man who was only about 74. That's a kid to me right now. But anyway, he had taken a knife. And saw him walking down the street, the old man, like me, bent over, and he walked up and took a knife and stabbed him right in the stomach. And his intestines started coming out. I caught the young man. I said, why in the world did you do that? He was black, and the old man was white. He said, I just hate all you white folk. Hate is terrible. You shouldn't have hate in your heart. If you've got hate in your heart, get rid of it. Ask Christ to help you and to save your soul. What time?
You're good.
Huh?
You are good.
You're good.
Okay.
Take your time.
I don't know the time here. When I preach at the prison too. Well, I did until this COVID virus started and they stopped the preaching. But I had to preach for 2 hours. Now, are you ready for 2 hours? So I don't know when to quit. He'll have to stop me, kind of cut me off. That's all you have to do. And anyway, men are very, very hateful today. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. I want you to notice that the daughters of men were Sethites. I mean, the daughters of men were Sethites. They came from Seth. When Seth was upon the earth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the earth, I don't know how many were the population, but probably close to what it is today. Several billion people. But in a short time, when men married when the sons of God married the daughters of men, which were Canaanites, they turned wicked and evil. And you shouldn't, if you're here and you're young and you're getting ready to marry, you should only marry a truly born-again Christian. Don't marry outside. God even set rules down for the kings. They were to marry, only have one wife. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The reason is that the women will turn away your hearts if they're not true Christians. They'll turn your hearts to their false gods, and you'll start worshiping false gods. I'm fortunate my little wife was saved long before I met her, and she's really on fire for the Lord. Anyway, we have from 120 to 130 A.D., Aquila, who is a scholar, said that the word sons is wehoi, means sons. It doesn't mean a giant. They didn't use ho-angela. That would be a giant. But that word there is sons. From 175 to 200, Symmachus said the same thing. The word is wehoi, sons of God. And Theodosius, he said the word is wehoi, sons of God. Well, where did this come from? Where did this people go off? If you look in the book of Enoch, which I do not agree with because it's not in the canon of Scripture, but in the book of Enoch, it says this man goes off on chapter 4 about the angels, that the sons are angels of God. And he says that they bore unto them three groups, the great giants, the Nephilims, and Oreos. They had three groups of giants. Now, the Bible only talks about the Hebrew is Nephilims. It doesn't say anything about the other two. But this guy must have gone off and he has conversation in the book of Enoch of giants, and or not giants, of angels that took these women and bore unto them three groups of giants. Oh, okay. The men of renown, they take what they want. Look at what happened in Juarez. Cartels, they take these women and use them as they want and force them to do what they want. It's just like in April 14th, 2014, when the people over in the men took 276 Christian children, there's still 100 missing, and they sold them as brides to the rebels over there. Men are evil. It's everywhere. It's all over the world. In verse 5, God says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man is great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." We're living in that day. Same thing. And if our legislators don't realize soon, I think the United States will no longer be. It says that we need to repent. Repent of what? 70,000 murders of babies since they've allowed it. I think that we're like in the day of back then. I have 5 questions. Who were the men in verse 1? I answered that. Who were the daughters of those men? We answered that. They were Sethites. Who were the sons of God? They were sons of God. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a Wehoi. That's a son of God. Even you ladies are sons of God, Wehoi. The giants in the Hebrew is Nephilim. There isn't any other. The giants did not give birth to men of renown. Now, there are a lot of paraphrases that say that this is angelos, angels, and not Wehois. Well, if you want to believe a paraphrase, I don't believe anybody that writes a paraphrase is saved. I believe that they're unsaved. What is the man that writes a paraphrase interested in? The money. That's all he's interested in. He'll say anything to change it. There are 3 groups of people. Believers. They believe and follow God and obey him and do what he says. There's heathen. They don't follow God. They follow their own pocketbook. And there's pagans. They follow false gods. I believe that a man that goes into a paraphrase and writes a paraphrase is unsaved. You say, why is that? Sadducees were trying to trick Jesus. And in verse 23, it says, they did not believe, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. But in verse 23, they said, in the resurrection thereof, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be? For she had 7 husbands. I'm sorry, I got to back up a little bit, get the whole story there. Yeah. It's Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. Then came the Sadducees, which say, there is no resurrection, and ask him, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leaves a wife behind and have no children, that his brother should take unto him his wife and raise up seed. Now, there were 7 brethren. The first took a wife. Dying, he left no seed. And the Sadducees said, the second had her. He died and left no seed. And likewise, the 7 had her. and left no seed. At last the woman died also. And in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be? For all seven had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, do you not err? Men err in the Bible all the time. There are many different beliefs. It's just like this. A lot of men believe the chapter 6 are giants. They let their mind go wild because ye know that not the scriptures are the power of God. God has the power, and we need to know the scriptures. The Bible's a sword. It's a two-edged sword. One edge is when God speaks the word. And when you use the sword and you speak the verses, you're the other edge. It can cut asunder. Time to close? Okay. It's time to close? Okay. He says no. Remember, I talked 2 hours at the prison. I hope your computer has enough battery. Where was I at? Okay, scripture. For they shall rise from the dead, neither marry nor give in marriage, but are as the angels of God which are in heaven. Angels don't have babies. As touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Therefore, you greatly do err. Now stop and think about it. Isn't it kind of silly to think that these were angels that mated with men and women? And there could not be unwed babies running around in heaven. God wouldn't allow that. That's kind of stupid, if you ask me, to think that, unmarried angels in heaven. God ordained marriage. Thank God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 to 25. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and he brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. The word man there in the Hebrew is ish, and the word for woman there is ish. It's a sound word. Ish. That's what I went when I saw her the first time. Ish. What a woman. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they shall both be naked, and the man and his wife, and they shall not be ashamed, boys and girls, but boys especially. Listen to me. If you're a young man, we know that your adrenaline is up when you see a young lady. Keep your hands off the girls. As a policeman, most states, if you fondle the girl, touch her on her breast or fondle her, you go to jail for 20 years. So keep your hands to yourself. Women, girls, you do the same. Keep yourself clean and be a virgin when you get married. There was a young lady not too long ago that's a school teacher. She had four of her school boys, she was teaching them, slept with her all night. She's facing 20 years in prison for rape. You can be charged with rape, and so can the boys. We don't tell the boys this enough, and we should preach it to them. Hey, boys, keep your hands off the girls. It's called statutory rape. I'm glad I was always bashful. Let's review. Angels do not have human body parts. Angels do not have human flesh. Angels do not have bone. Angels do not have human DNA that's compatible with women. Can an angel make a baby? No. Let's find out. You cannot find one word about baby angels in the Bible. It doesn't even make sense. Are you trying to tell me it's time? I saw you. Huh? Okay, good. I want to know what God says, not what some money-hungry paraphrase author says. That's all they're in it for, is money. The authors of paraphrases cannot be saved. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written therein. If you're saved, or even if you're not, there's a big book up there. It's a book of life. And God says, angel, bring it here. And open it up. And it comes down here in Don Kreider. And it's red. Why is it red? Because the blood of Jesus took away all my sins. He'll take away your sins if you'll ask him. In Genesis 4:26, and Seth, unto him also was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made, what, angels? No, men on the earth. And he gave, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy angels? No, it says men. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man, it doesn't say angels, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowl of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made him. Please listen to me. Many years ago when they first started, some people don't like the blood. I told this to the Sunday school class. But the reason for the blood is that Israel were captives in Egypt. And the night that God allowed them to go out, he took a bowl and he put it underneath the lamb's throat. The reason he did it, took a lamb, is that the Egypt hated the shepherds. The shepherds allowed the lambs to eat everything, and they hated them. But he took a bowl, and he slit the lamb's throat, and the blood went into the bowl, and he took hyssop, and he dipped it in the blood, and he made a cross on this doorpost. He made a cross on the lintel, and he made a cross on the other doorpost. And if you'll ask Christ into your heart and have the blood applied, he'll come into your heart. He'll save you. But you've got to ask Christ to come into your heart and accept the blood. There's no salvation outside of the blood of Christ. He's the only way. That's the only way you can get saved, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you. On my tombstone, I have a tombstone in Indiana, and on the back of it I have Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I also have verse 13, for with thine heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. Please, please, I beg you today, if you haven't asked Christ into your heart, you can do it right where you're at. Get on your knees and believe that he died on that cruel, rugged cross and shed his blood for your sins. And all you have to do is ask him into your heart, and he'll take you to heaven when you die, or when the rapture happens. And I believe the rapture's about to happen. I'll show you that tonight. I love Christ. I love Jesus. He's a great God, a great Savior. Please ask him into your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm kind of nervous. I've never talked to somebody on the camera before. Let's all pray. Father, thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Most of all, Father, we thank you that Jesus, when he died upon Calvary's cross, said, "It is finished. Your sins are paid for. All you have to do is believe him and ask him into your heart, and he'll pay for your sins. He's already paid for them. Please, get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. It's yours.